Blog Talk Radio.
The Brownstone on the Voices of Hope Radio Network, and I am your host, Tracy B. I'll be rocking tonight, the mic tonight, with empowering content, inspiring content, and content that is transforming. So grab your favorite beverage, find your favorite chair, and join the conversation. And welcome to the Brownstone, y'all.
Place. The Sisters of Literature is an interactive, multi-platform book club. Each month, we bring together passionate readers to review, discuss, share experiences, and inspiring stories about this month's book. Throughout the month, there are social media discussions and live chats that readers can join. So head on over to Facebook and join Sisters of Literature today.
Police brutality, not on our watch. Poor healthcare? No, sir. Our voting system is broken. It changes when we change it. We rise up as one. We speak out for our black lives. In 2020, we show up to the polls. Your vote is your microphone. So get in the booth and turn yours up. Reclaim your vote. You dig?
Go to bet.com/reclaimyourvote for more on how to register.
That's right. It's time to reclaim your vote. In just 9 days, you guys, we will be electing our president of the United States. So I not only want to encourage you to vote, I encourage you to vote. Because it's, if you heard it all over the airways, everything that's been going on, this is one of the most important elections that we have. So I like to say that your vote is your voice, and your voice matters. See, we have to think about the reason why voting is so important to the African-American community or any community. Our ancestors fought for us to have this right. So let's not take it for granted. You know, when you vote, you not only be electing a candidate, somebody that's going to make rules for us, somebody that's going to have our best interests at heart. So it's so important for you to vote. It's so important because your vote helps to make active decisions about issues concerning health care, immigration, equal opportunity, our voting rights, infrastructure, jobs, education, Social Security, your neighborhood, safety, and your taxes. So remember this, your vote is your voice, and your voice matters. So make sure that you vote. Let me say this. You know, I was so in tune to the music. Do you guys like that beat? Let me know. Just, you know, give me a thumbs up, chat, something, call into the line. That beat is just cranking. So I just was seriously looking, listening to the beat and kind of like got off track. But tonight I am excited to be here. As always, not only is it 9 days from the election, this is also happens to be Cancer Awareness Month. So tonight, on the line with me tonight is none other than Joyce B. Baylor. And I want to, you know, at this time, just welcome her to the Brownstone. And we're going to chat just for a little bit. So I think I hear Joyce somewhere out in the waiting room, somewhere around. You know, they get caught up in the brownstone, and they'll be in the game room. They'll be somewhere in the brownstone. So let me see if she's actually in the studio with me. Joyce, are you here?
Hi, Tracy. Yes, I'm here. In living color, enjoying this brownstone.
Enjoying the brownstone. Did you like that beat? Did you? That beat has you relaxing, right?
Yes, it had me relaxing.
So, Joyce, welcome to the brownstone. I don't know if you had the opportunity to pick out which room is your favorite, but a lot of people, they get stuck in the game room. I be looking for them like, you're supposed to be in the studio, but they're in the game room just enjoying that. So I hope you enjoyed your tour. And so now, you know, Joyce, this is a time that I like to have fun with my guests, because I always like to have my guests get to my audience, listening audience, to get to know my guests a little bit. So, you know, as I was strolling through your Facebook page, Yeah, you know, they used to call me the Facebook stalker, but I like to stroll through your page and, you know, find out a little bit more about you. So I kept seeing these words on your page. It says, no matter what. And no matter who. So what does that mean? Because I just fell in love with it. What does that mean?
No matter what, no matter who, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, no matter the storms, no matter who, man, woman, cat, dog, baby, no matter even the trick of the enemy, no matter what, no matter who, God has you. God has us, and I live that saying out, no matter what, no matter who. I live it out.
I love it. I just fell in love with that. And I was like, I got to ask her exactly what, you know, that means. So as I continue to stroll through your Facebook page, I see that you love your family and your friends, right? I see that big, like you're a big family person. But it's this one person that's on your page, and I don't even know who she is, but she loves the camera. She loves the camera. She loves the exercise. I don't know who that is, but I guess I want to ask you, are you an exercise fanatic?
Well, actually, I've been an athlete growing up, and you know, exercise is very important. So any given chance that I can, you know, I will. And you had asked the question of who the young lady was with the camera. That is Dr. Gloria Robertson, who is one of my cousins. And, yes, she is a fanatic for healthy, healthy, fit, being fit and healthy, not just in the natural, but spiritually.
Okay. Will you tell her I said hello, because I enjoy walking through. It's like she got the camera and she dancing and she moving around and she having herself a good time. And I was like, you know what? I can get my steps in watching her. You know what I mean? So I really enjoy that part of it. But another part, just to help us learn, because we've all been sitting in this pandemic, as we say. So I wanted to know, like, what have you learned about yourself during this pandemic, and how has it changed your perspective?
What I have learned during this pandemic is that I can stretch a little further than, you know, come on out of the comfort zone. I've been stretched, really challenged in this pandemic, and what I've learned, it's not about the things, the container. It's about the content. You know, what's inside, the inside. And God has been dealing with me, and I say me. I'm not looking at anybody else. You know, looking at me, it really has been a life-changing experience since this pandemic for me. I look in the
mirror.
I look in the mirror more at myself, not being selfish, but it's what, you know, what I can do, or where I need to be. you know, to change, to be different.
Mm-hmm. I think that this has really caused a lot of us going through this pandemic to take a look at our lives, take a look at how we love one another, how we love ourselves, and just be better people, better human beings, because tomorrow's not promised to us. And I think that that could be seen throughout the pandemic, because people were here today and gone tomorrow. They weren't there. They got caught up with the pandemic. So I just wanted to know how it, you know, how the pandemic has affected you during this time and your perspectives. But we're going to be right back after this commercial break.
This is the WB, and you're listening to The Brownstone on Voices of Hope Radio Network. I'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Sad about the open house today?
Just got to check my credit at Credit Karma first. It's free.
Oh, checking will lower your score. We'll never get out of here.
Actually, checking your credit score with Credit Karma never lowers it at all.
Really?
Yep.
Maybe I should check my credit. Oh.
Credit Karma. Get knowing.
This was never just a game.
This was speaking out for decades, and the sad reality is people have to change their view of us.
And it's shown us that humanity is greater than anything else that divides us.
We're actually living and breathing human beings that have a multitude of intelligence, work ethic, discipline, talent.
We stand on the shoulders of men and women who fought for our right to participate, for our right to run without fear, for our right to not only breathe, but thrive.
I want to see that same uproar. I want to see that same, this is not our country. This is not what we want to represent, but we can't be the only voices doing it.
We have a right to make it known, loud and clear.
My patience left my body when I watched George Floyd take his last breath.
Our lives matter.
I'm a genius. If you boy,
never would have made it. Never could have made it without you.
Welcome back to The Brownstone. I am your host, Tracy Brown, and I thank you for being a part of the conversation. If you like me, I think of that song like Never Would Have Made It, and he said never would have, you know, made it. When I think about some of the things that I've been through in my life, I never would have made it if it had not been for God on my side. But our guest today is Joyce Bailey, and she's here to tell us her story, that there will be glory after this. And the truth be told, when you enter in this, into a storm, there will be glory after that. When you exit the storm, there will be glory after that. While in the storm, there will be glory after that. So, you know, we have to remain in a posture of worship and prayer because we know what? There will be glory after that. So this month just happens to be, and every month for me, is October's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And this time is used to bring awareness to the disease. This quote reminds me of you, Joyce. The quote reminds me of you and your story. We don't know how strong we are until being strong is the only choice we have. So tonight I want to have you share your story with us. But there are three pivotal dates that I have that I would like for you to discuss. The first one is April 2008, April 2009, and October 5th, 2009. So, Joyce, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. April of 2008 to me was a big year. I had gotten married. I got married. I was a newlywed. So there was new beginnings to a happier life. And, I was enjoying life, traveling, attending, you know, concerts, just doing exciting things that married couples would do, loving on each other, getting to know each other, and having good time, fellowship with the family. Well, later on, a year later, April of 2009, I had developed a persisting cough, and it was while working, still working and all, it was consistent, and I made it a scheduled appointment to the doctor's office. And they were treating me for upper respiratory infection. And that went on for numerous of weeks. And then I did a follow-up. Well, after that, during that time, it was time for my scheduled yearly mammogram. And I had the mammogram done also in May. And it came back clear. Well, later that cough came back again. So again, they were treating me for upper respiratory infection, and I was taking their medicine. And come August, which was my birthday, my husband then and I went on a cruise. And normally I'm an outgoing, sociable person, but this was something totally different. And your body will speak to you, and you have to listen to it. But it was something different after being on the ship, how it seemed like my taste buds were changing. It seemed like nothing was really exciting being on that cruise ship. I would get up to see the sunrise, and I would be on the Lido deck by myself, or if we had breakfast, or, you know, things didn't stay down. But anyway, after we returned, I was doing a breast examination. And I felt something that was different, not apart, and it was moving. So I'd asked my husband if he would check, and he did. We called the doctor's office immediately, and they scheduled me an appointment that following Monday. I went in, and they did not, waste any time with it. They did the ultrasound, and they saw what I was describing to them. It was as large as a golf ball, and that's how fast it had grew. Things started moving so fast. I knew something was not right with my body, but I did not know that that it was cancer. Again, like I said, just newly married and having exciting life, promoted on my job. Everything was good. Even my relationship, asking the Lord to, you know, do a new thing in me, not expecting that new thing to be the test of going through having breast cancer. After that, the doctors, after the various tests, the doctors contacted me and said that it was positive for breast cancer. And right then and there, it was like my whole life changed. And that was October the 5th of 2009. When I say my whole life changed, my whole life changed. And when we got the day that we got married, my brother and my sister-in-law, they spoke a word into and over our marriage. And that scripture is what kept me. And that's Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Because I did not know what I was getting ready to encounter, but I knew that I had to trust in the Lord. Excuse me, because when I speak about it, it just takes me back to that day. And not that I had not been humble, but it humbled me even more. And again, I went through the process 2 years and 6 months. After having the surgery, a lumpectomy I had, they wanted to remove my breasts, and I told them no. Go in, remove the tumor, sew me back up, because I'm standing on God's word. I'm trusting you, Lord. I didn't have a sad story, because I was trusting the Lord. My faith was tested, and I was trusting the Lord. I notified my family, my son, my oldest son, quiet guy, but he began to cry, and he asked a question. Mom, are you going to die? And I looked at him, and I said, are you living? And he said, yes, I'm living. And I said, well, I'm going to live too. So I had already made up in my mind that I was going to live and not die, because God had more work for me. After that, the doctors, they suggested that I get chemo and radiation. And I tell you, I don't wish this on my worst enemy. You know, I went through the chemo, lost my hair, everything, but I still had life. I was bald, but I still had life. The fight would be on for me during the nighttime, early in the morning. And I mean, the chemo would get down to the marrow of my bone. And I went back to Proverbs 3 and 5, where it states about the marrow of the bones. So I knew that that scripture was the scripture for me. I didn't know then when my brother and my sister in love spoke it into the marriage. I'm thinking that they're speaking it into the marriage, but that scripture was for me because God knew what was in store, what's in front of me. And I went through that. I had a good support system. God orchestrated everything. There was nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing needed, nothing wanted. I had a girlfriend, Free Free, who I call Free Free. She cooked, and I mean like 6 months worth of food. My youngest daughter, she was afraid of needles. She confronted her fears. So me being afflicted with cancer was not just for me. It was for those that were connected to and with me. And in that process, I learned that sometimes you have to disconnect and reconnect to be connected to whom you're supposed to be. I tell you, it was a life-changing experience, but through that process, again, I had to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. In that process, during that process, I was dealing with managing two residents, a high-demand job, a new marriage. It was a lot coming at me during that time, and then having to deal with the cancer. I had to take my hands off, throw my hands up, and say, Lord, here I am. I can't do this. I need you. I need you. There's a young lady, even during this process, that she didn't know me and I did not know her. And three times the young lady had reached out to me, Tracy Bio from Philadelphia. She reached out. The fourth time I said yes, she wanted, you know, to hear my story. And I would speak and encourage the employees that worked with and for me. But at that time, Tracy, I didn't think that my story was good enough. I know that I was going through something, and I shared what I was going through to some employees that we had good insurance, and these ladies had not had mammograms. And the day that, it was funny because the day that I was diagnosed and just got off the phone from talking to the doctors, the employees would always come to my office. And I had about four young ladies, and I knew that this was orchestrated by God. And I shared with them, and I insisted. I asked them, had you all had mammograms? And the four said, no. And I looked, and I'm like, I was just diagnosed with breast cancer. We have good health insurance. Please call your doctors and schedule your mammogram. And out of those four, three of them was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Wow. So I want to ask you a question right quick here, because I think I read in the book reading your story, something about triple negative estrogen. And So can you talk about that? Like, I guess, so did they catch it at the beginning? Were you in a particular stage? Just where were you at? Because you went in for a cough and found out it was more than a cough that was going, you know, not unless it was a cough and what was going on with you, but you found out that you had breast cancer. And I hear a lot about the triple negative, but I don't quite understand it. So if you can share with us exactly what that means, I would greatly appreciate it.
Sure. Yes, actually, the cough was part of that disease growing in my body. See, my body throws off things. Even if I take medicine, it rejects the medicine. Triple negative estrogen receptacle progesterone reception and HER2/neu, and that was negative stage 2B breast cancer. It was aggressive enough that, and I thank God that it was caught before, because it had spread it to my lymph nodes.
So when you actually, I guess, the you know, while you were going through the changes and you found out, how did you, you know, because one of the, I can't even imagine having to tell my family this. So when you first told them, I know they probably were in disbelief and they were that, but what was their reaction?
What you gonna do? Mm-hmm. They started praying. Like I said, my oldest son, he, the first thing he said, because normally people hear of cancer, they think of death. But it's not a death sentence. My family, they began to pray, and I mean, did you call the doctors? What did the doctors say? And every week that I had a scheduled appointment, I know I had about 5 or 6 people at that scheduled appointment right there, that support group right there with me. And we prayed.
Mm-hmm. And I know that support groups are very important, but some, you know, some of us, we don't have the family, we don't have that, we don't have the support group. So what would you suggest if someone does find themselves alone and having to face this? I couldn't even imagine having to face that alone.
Well, just know that this is not something that you caused. You did not go into the store to purchase it off of the shelf. And no one, absolutely no one, should go through this by themselves. Drop the false pride. Reach out to someone. Say something to the doctors or the nurses. There's someone that you can talk to that will be available to support you.
Mm-hmm. So how has being a survivor of breast cancer really changed your outlook on your health? Or, you know, so a lot of times many of us will take that simple cough, and maybe it was just a cough. We're going to go to the store to get something. But I get, how has that changed? Because you took that cough more seriously and you found out that it was serious.
Yes, because you have to listen to your body. Your body is speaking. It's just like a car. You know, when it's time for oil change, it's time for you to go and take it to the shop. So if you have a cough, if you feel something different in your body, contact your doctors. With me, I'm calling. And I don't want to be diagnosed over the phone. I'm coming in so that you can see me and hear and understand. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, no, this is not happening. You know what you feel.
Mm-hmm. That's the key thing. We know what we feel. And I thank you for sharing not only with the young ladies how important it is to get your mammogram, but now I think they're free. At least I know through my insurance they're free. And they make sure that you call. And even though I think they, you know, I don't can't remember the age, maybe the late 40s, early 50s, that you should always, you should start getting checked. I encourage people to get checked as soon as possible. You know, if they tell you that it hurts, but I don't think that it hurts, but that's just me. But I encourage you, it's free through your insurance. Go out, make sure you get your mammogram every year. The way I do my health stuff, and I don't know how you do yours, Joyce, is I celebrate my birthday with that. I'm glad for another year of life. So I'm going to get my checkups, all of them, around my birthday, if not on my birthday. So
yes,
I mean,
do this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you do the same. So, you know, it's been great talking to you. I want you to hang on, but we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is the WB, and you're listening to the Brownstones on Voices of Hope Radio Network. I'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
I dare you.
I dare you to change the world.
Yeah, you. Getting that college education.
I dare you to be somebody important.
Like be a teacher.
Or a reality TV star.
I dare you to stand up here.
To call the shots.
To be a role model.
An inspiration.
An innovator.
To be a teacher.
Be my teacher.
Think you can change my life?
Make me excited about science like you?
Have a career that really means something?
Then do it.
I dare you.
I dare you.
I dare you.
But not defeated, cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends, they let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me. Around for me,
around for me, around for me,
turning around,
turning around for me.
'Cause I can see the breaking,
I can see the breaking of day.
God is. If I stay strong,
if I stand strong and believe,
there's no reason to doubt.
I
know He's working,
it out,
and it's turning around.
Turning around.
This is the good news. It won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. And sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Sooner or later,
turn in my favor.
Turn in my favor.
Later.
Welcome back to the Brownstone, and I am your host, Tracy B., and I am joined here tonight with Joyce Baylor. As she shares a story, there will be glory after this. So I was wondering, you mentioned her name earlier, Tracy Bio, and you had the opportunity to tell your story. So how did that come about? Because I know there were 13 beautiful women in that volume that you were in. I think it was volume 4. But how did that come about?
Well, Tracy had reached out to me 3 times, and I it was, again, a fear factor that came upon me, like my story was not good enough. And even though I was living it and I was sharing it, but she reached out to me 3 times via Facebook, actually. And then the 4th time, I told her yes.
Oh, wait a minute. What's that? Was that a doorbell?
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. Let me answer the door. Hello. Hello. Hello? Hello? Anybody at the door?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, who is this?
This is Tracy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Tracy. Oh, my God.
How are you? Oh, my God, I'm getting emotional. How are you?
Oh, you know what I do, Tracy? Oh, my, Tracy Brown. Oh, my God, Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm at the door.
Oh, my God.
I am good. I am better. I am better today. I've been emotional all weekend, and so I guess I was just anticipating of talking to you, but I am better at this very moment. I am.
Oh, and I am, too, because I was writing some things down to send to you because you did not respond.
Really?
Oh, Tracy Brown.
You know I love you, Miss Joyce. You know I love you. You know I love you.
Yes, and I love you too. But for a minute, I was like, wait a minute. Where is she? Is she away? What? I mean,
no.
I was getting ready to call Ivy. Oh, my God.
Not at all. Not at all. I knew that I'd be speaking to you today when Tracy reached out to me and asked me to be a special guest because she was interviewing you on the show. I was ecstatic. Overly ecstatic, and so I am so glad that she invited me just to love on you today, just to love on you.
And I am so excited that you accepted. And Tracy, oh my God, you know I know where you live, Tracy Brown.
She just showed up at the doorbell. I don't know. She showed up at the Brownstone. I don't even know how she knew the address. I don't know. I really don't. But, you know, Tracy Bio, while you are here, I'm going to take this opportunity. You know I got a couple of questions for you. You know you cannot stop by the Brownstone and visit with Joyce, and y'all laugh and have a good time, and I not ask you any questions.
Yes, ma'am.
I just have to. So I guess I want to know, where did the Pink Sisters Chronicles, I mean, what, just tell me about it, because it's a wonderful and beautiful organization, but tell me about it.
The whole concept came from my fight of having breast cancer, and so I was diagnosed in 2013 with breast cancer, and as I was going through my fight, I didn't see a lot of people that looked like us. I didn't hear about a lot of organizations that sound like us, and I needed a little bit more. I had, as Joyce said, we have a wonderful support system, but I needed somebody to tell them that I was scared and really didn't alarm my family. I needed someone to say, listen, can you hold my hand, and didn't alarm my family because our family took a cue out of our playbook. And so I try to be as cool as a cucumber going through this process, but the inner person, I was scared. And so I didn't have a lot of people who went through breast cancer. And so I always say, what you don't see, you can create. So I created a pink sister, which is someone that you can have a very intimate conversation and they will understand exactly what you're going through.
Wow. I just love when I seen it, I was like, okay, before I understood what it was, I was like, man, but so, and I was like, man, I want to be a part of that. Like this pink sister, I love pink. You know what I'm like? And so once I began to read the stories, I was like,
right.
Oh my God, it's such a beautiful organization. So I guess what I wanted to ask you, because you said someone to hold your hand. So are you nationwide? If I'm in North Carolina, Maryland, how does that part of it work?
Listen, if you invite me or if you call me, I'm going to come. And so I live in Pennsylvania, but as Joyce said, Joyce, did I DM you and just to say that, or I don't know how we got connected, you said via Facebook, but yeah, I would pretty much go anywhere, wherever you need a hug or a prayer or somebody to be right there, we are here for you. We are here.
So I think I've seen that do you host the annual event every year? And tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, we are working on our fifth edition of the Pink Sister Chronicles. And so every year, pre-COVID, we had a gala to introduce the new ladies that go from survivors and thrivers to now authors. And so every year we have the unveiling of the book. And so I believe Joyce's book had a lot. She had the most ladies in that particular chapter, that particular volume. And so, yes, every year we do the unveiling either before October or in the very first week of October of the ladies that make up that particular book. And we do a year of promotion and a year of book signing that whole year to the next book.
So how many women have participated going from survivor to author throughout your whole, because you said you're getting ready to do your fifth one. So how many women actually participated all the way up until this point?
Close to 50. Close to 50.
Wow, that's nice. That's nice.
And we had some along the way that have gained their wings. And that particular, and so when that happened, they gained their ring, so I asked their children to write their chapter. And so it was just, it's a beautiful thing. It's just a beautiful, beautiful process. It's a beautiful ending to this horrible story that we went through with breast cancer, but it's a beautiful ending to be able to write your story in hopes of encouraging other ladies. And Miss Joyce is one of those ladies that, let me tell you a story. One time I was driving and I was having a hard time because oftentimes, you know, I don't tell everybody what I'm going through because I am around, unfortunately, death a lot. Unfortunately, life, obviously, but sometimes we have some pink sisters that gain their wings. And one day I was having a really hard time and I called Miss Joyce probably. Joyce, was it like 10:30, 11 o'clock I might have called you?
About 12 midnight.
And I knew she was asleep, right? But I needed prayer. I needed prayer at that very moment. And I called her and I said, Joyce, can you do me a favor? I said, can you pray for me? And she propped herself up and she went into prayer like it was Sunday at 11 o'clock. And so Joyce is one of those people that there was something about her spirit, there was something about her energy, and like she said, I asked her over and over again, and I took no for an answer, but I wasn't going to stop asking. And so I am blessed that she finally said yes to our organization and being able to tell her story. So I'm blessed. It's a blessing, Joyce, that you actually said yes to us.
Yes, Joyce loves you. When I called you, I said, Joyce talk about you all the time. Can you please come on? I got to be able to pull this off. I didn't know. First, I had the door open and close. I said, you know what? It's just going to be a doorbell ring. That's what it was going to be. And so I tried not to. I talked to Joyce. I think I spoke with Joyce for probably about an hour and a half last week. And I was like, let me not let the cat out of the bag, because you already told me that you were available.
Yeah.
So I just said, oh, okay, so let me be quiet here. But what I also want to ask you, Tracy, is where do you see the future of your organization?
That's a good question. And so we will, as always, continue to write the stories. We will always continue to write the stories of the struggle what it's like to go through breast cancer. And as Joy said, chemo and radiation, yeah, that's a humdinger right there. And then for me, like many other ladies, I opted to have my breast taken off. And so you know, every story is unique. Every story is different. And so everybody has their own experience. And so something is going to hit a chord in someone's life to say to themselves, I need to get my mammogram, because people still are hiding. People still feel lumps. Don't get a mammogram. And so I'm hoping that the books are a message to our ladies in the African American community to say that, yes, breast cancer can be invasive, but as Joy said, it's not a death sentence. And the sooner you get checked, the greater of them catching it before it's too late. And so I'm still going to write the book, and hopefully, and I've been talking about this, and I'm going to speak this into fruition, I want these stories to turn into a documentary. I think that we should be able to see a face behind the stories. We should be able to see the emotions behind the stories. We should be able to see the laughter, because believe it or not, as Sherry said, we're still living, and we're talking about life, and I enjoy life, and I appreciate life, and I want people to know that it's not a death sentence, and I was tested, but I passed the test. And so hopefully in the future, definitely to have the stories that are written turn into a documentary.
So if people wanted to give to your organization, could you tell us how we could give?
You can go into Tracy's, TracisBio.org. Right there, if you go into TracyBio.org, there, my website, there is an actual part of the website that allow you to actually donate to the organization. And so TracisBio.org.
And not only is it you can donate, you can actually buy some merchandise from it. So do both, donate and buy some merchandise, because it's for a good cause. So would you like to leave us with an email address, any way that the member of a listening audience, if they actually happen to be struggling with this horrible disease at this time, because we know that there is hope and there is life, and they need a pink sister, can you tell them how to get in touch with you?
Sure. And so also, if you go to the website, but the email is tracysbio@gmail.com. So tracysbio@gmail.com. Or you really can just call me. I like to say that I'm reachable and touchable. So the number is 267-897-1050. And so we are a reachable and touchable organization that I speak to ladies all times of the day, sometimes at night, sometimes first thing in the morning, because as Ms. Joy said, sometimes the nights are pretty bad. And so when your family is sleeping, if you give me a call, I'm going to answer that call and just speak to you and just have a conversation. Because it takes a sisterhood for you to get, it takes a village and a sisterhood for you to get through breast cancer.
Well, you know, we thank you. I thank you for the awesome job that you're doing. There are some wonderful stories in these books, in the books that you have. I love the name. I love everything about you and what you're doing out in our community. So I just want to give hats off to you, and thank you for doing that. And Joyce, today wouldn't be today without your story, without you sharing your story, letting us know that there will be glory after this, because sometimes I can imagine when we're going through regular life issues and we don't think that there's going to be glory after that. We get caught up in the storm, but you let us know that you lean on your Proverbs 3:5-6, and that's what held you, held and got you through. And a lot of times, I don't know if you have some advice you want to give to the listening audience right now, but I'm going to turn it over to you for a moment so you can do that and encourage someone tonight.
Well, what I would like everyone to know, and for sure, it's a sure thing, that if you trust God with your entire heart, your whole heart, that he will work it out for you. If you will just let go, you know, wherever it is or however it is, turn it over. Turn it over to God in prayer. Go to someone that can encourage you to want to live and see a new thing in your life. Just turn it over to God.
That's right. We have to turn it over to God. That's our source, guys. That's our source. We can't do it alone. We got to turn it over to God. But before we leave out, I want to remind you guys how important it is to vote. Your voice matters and your votes count. But I want to thank my guest tonight for stopping by the Brownstone. I want to thank my listening audience for joining in the conversation. Also got to give a shout out to the network, the Voices of Hope Radio Network. Make sure you connect with them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And take a moment to follow me on the Brownstone page. But until next week, you guys have a great and wonderful evening. Thank you for joining us here on the Brownstone.